بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, tonight we commenced with the ninth juz, continuing with Surah Al-A'raf, which we had commenced with last night. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us His divine system that is in place in this world with regard to those who go astray, those who transgress and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A similar concept was mentioned in the previous surah, in Surah Al-An'am, and this is now repeated in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different stages that He takes a person through when a person is disobedient, when he transgresses, and when he begins to move away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very first stage, of course this stage has now come to an end, but the very first stage which used to be in place was that Allah would send a Nabi to that group of people. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ. So the first step was to send a Nabi. He would then remind the people of the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come back onto the deen of Allah. And then when they would continue with their transgression, their disobedience, their sin, then the second stage, إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّى. Allah says we would seize that group of people with physical and financial difficulty. Al-Ba'sa wa-Dharra. As far as their health was concerned, they would be tested. Allah would bring about sickness, illness, calamities. And as far as their wealth was concerned, Allah would cause some tightness, some restriction in their wealth, in their financial well-being. And the reason for this was not necessarily to punish them. La'allahum yad-Dharra'un. Allah says, so that perhaps they may submit. They may come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may become submissive and humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of this was a test, that through this physical sickness or likewise through this financial difficulty, they will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we all bear testimony to. When a person is going through some hardship, some difficulty, then he makes dua sincerely. Then he makes an extra effort to be in the masjid, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tries to avoid sin, so that he can secure the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second stage, is that Allah will seize them with some difficulty, some calamity. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the third stage, when this group of people, after being afflicted with difficulties, with calamities, when they continue transgressing, ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Allah says, we now change the difficulty into ease, from adversity into prosperity. Hatta afaw, until they begin to increase in all their bounties. As far as their health is concerned, they are in good health. As far as their wealth is concerned, Allah opens the doors of sustenance for them. And they begin to enjoy a great deal of prosperity. Until they reach such a point, waqalu, that they begin to say to one another, qad massa aba'ana ad-dharra'u was-sarra, that those difficulties, those sicknesses, illnesses, those financial hardships came to our forefathers. It didn't come to us. We never tasted any difficulty in our life. They forget the difficulty that they had gone through. And then when they reach this point in their lives, and this is their condition, Allah now says, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. We then seize them suddenly. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they don't even perceive our punishment coming. Just overnight, Allah pulls the rug from under their feet, and they now fall into the adab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the three-step plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or system of Allah in this world. As we mentioned, the first stage is no longer applicable. They are no longer in the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. But the next two stages we find are still in practice. A person transgresses, he disobeys Allah, and he finds himself going through some difficulty. Ulama say we should actually make shukr to Allah that I am still on the first stage. Allah has not yet taken me to the last stage. Some difficulty has come. This should be a test. It should be an eye-opener. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, ulama say a person should be afraid when he is breaking the commands of Allah. His life is not coming right, but still Allah's bounties are pouring upon him. Doors are opening for him. Financially also he's enjoying himself. And things are just clicking for him. He should be extremely fearful that this must not be Allah giving me rope to hang myself with. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system when a person transgresses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Generally in the Quran Sharif, the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is divided into two halves. the first half, what we say, قَبْلَ فِرْعَوْنَ, before his meeting with Fir'aun, and the second half commences from the time he meets Fir'aun, and right up until after the demise of Fir'aun. So here in this surah, Suratul A'raf, Allah in great detail mentions the second half of the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And very interestingly, we mentioned this before also, when we look into the Quran Sharif and the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that have been mentioned, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's name appears the most number of times. In fact, his name appears more than twice the number of the next Nabi, who was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He also appears many a times in the Quran. But Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is by far that Nabi who is mentioned the most in the Quran Sharif because of the lessons we take from his life. So here in the second half of his life, Allah mentions seven major events that had taken place. We won't go through the details, but these events, first is his inviting Fir'aun to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and displaying the miracles that Allah had blessed him with. One was, of course, the most famous one was his staff that would turn into a serpent. This was a very great miracle that Allah had given him. So this was the first major event that is mentioned. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through the second major event, which was his meeting with the magicians of Fir'aun and his subsequent defeating of them and how they then accepted Islam, brought Iman at his hands. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through Fir'aun's meeting out of punishment upon the Bani Israel, upon the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. After Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had managed to convince the magicians and many people accepted Islam at his hands, Fir'aun now took it upon himself. He says that every child that is born, I will make it my duty to slaughter. وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ. The men I will kill, I will oppress. Your woman folk I will leave alive. Why? So that when the male is leaving this world, as he is being put to the sword, or he is executed, he can see in front of him his wife's life is spared, and he knows that the henchmen of Fir'aun will take her for themselves. So a very brutal punishment that was meted out to the Bani Israel. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through the afflictions and trials that came to Fir'aun as a result of this. Years of drought and loss of crops, and great amount of difficulty that Allah brought upon the people of Fir'aun in order to make them realize and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, when their eyes did not open, they did not bring Iman upon Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's hands, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes their destruction, and the entire incident of the drowning of Fir'aun then is mentioned. So this was the fifth event. And then two more major events that take place after Fir'aun. One was when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam crossed the sea with the Bani Israel, and they came across that group of people who were worshipping idols, and then the Bani Israel asked Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, why don't you erect some statue for us also? We can worship some idol or direct our worship to some statue. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam rebuked them, and then he was called to Mount Tur to receive the Torah. And then we know the entire incident of Samiri, who was a misguided person, how he fashioned a calf and he commanded the Bani Israel to worship this calf. So this was the sixth event. And finally, the last major event in the second half of the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was when Allah had instructed him to fast for a period of 40 days and then to select 70 men from his tribe and take them to Mount Tur. And these people then were taken, and a very lengthy incident thereafter, how they asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah rebuked them for this, and then finally they were forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in great detail, over a few pages, Allah mentions these major events in the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then as we come to the conclusion and the end of Suratul A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the etiquette that a person needs to display when the Quran Sharif is being recited. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Allah says when the Quran is being recited, then listen attentively to it. وَأَنْصِتُوا. And remain silent. And under this verse we find many of the great fuqaha of Islam, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, have derived the ruling that when a person is performing salah behind the imam, then when the imam begins his recitation, then it is wajib for the person to remain silent. He is not allowed to even read Quran behind the imam. Now, this is a very important ruling, whether it is a soft salah, zuhr, asr, or it is a loud salah, maghrib, isha, fajr. A person who is a musalli, he is a muqtadi reading behind the imam, he is required to remain silent when the imam is reciting. Based on this verse, when the Quran is recited, then listen attentively and remain silent. And Allah mentions what will be the outcome of this, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that you may be shown mercy. So that the mercy that comes down at the time of the recitation of Quran may come to you also. And this is extremely important, especially in today's time. We find sometimes we have the Quran Sharif playing in our cars, or we're playing it at home, whether it's on the cell phone or over the receiver or some live streaming. And we are continuing our conversation. Somebody comes to ask us something. The children are talking, or husband and wife are having a conversation. If this is the case and we wish to speak to one another, then put the Quran Sharif off. But if the Quran is playing, there's no such a thing that the Quran will play in the background for barakat. Barakat will come when we will listen to the recitation of Quran, or when we ourselves will recite the Quran Sharif. So this is very important that we display the correct adab and the correct etiquette when the Quran is being recited. And then in the last verse, Allah mentions the etiquette associated with dhikrullah. When a person takes the name of Allah, he remembers Allah, he makes zikr, then Allah says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ, that remember your Rabb to yourself. In other words, the best form of dhikr is that which is done in a silent manner or in a low tone. تَضَرُّعًا, showing your humility before Allah. وَخِيفَةً, and showing your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, without raising your voice excessively. So this is the preferred method of making dhikrullah, that a person sits in seclusion and he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a soft manner, with perhaps just where he can hear himself, or if there was somebody seated next to him, they may be able to hear him. Not raising his voice, not screaming with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, ulama explain sometimes for ta'aleem purposes, so that we can get encouragement, then we make dhikrullah together. Some person will make it slightly loudly or aloud, so that the rest of us can then follow. This is just for education, for ta'aleem. But the preferred method of dhikr is that it should be done in seclusion, with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking of the punishment that awaits a person who is sinful, and at the same time having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing in mind the great rewards and the great benefit of taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, that when you make my dhikr, then do not be negligent, do not be unmindful. Ulama explain many a times a person wants to make the dhikr of Allah at tahajjud time, sehri time, but he's extremely tired at that time. His eyes are closing and he's making the dhikr of Allah. Better he terminates his dhikr and he takes some rest. But when the mind is attentive, the heart is attentive, a person has his full amount of concentration, now he makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will bring about the greatest amount of benefit. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.